Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Four Oaks in Fall Branch, Tennessee, KFKingsport.com presents Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio with your host, Gulf Coast Wrestling Reunion and Cauliflower Alley Club honoree, Bo James.
Welcome back to Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio for part two of our special on Mario Galento, as we're going to go back and listen to the second part of his interview on Memphis Radio from 1974 when he went on the radio and talked about what was going on behind the scenes about him being blackballed from wrestling in Tennessee and Alabama and all across the Southern Territories. And if you have missed part one, just go to the archives and you can pick up right there. Listen to the first part, come right over back over here and listen to the second part. Want to kick off saying again also, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, as we did both this program and the previous program, Christmas week of 2015, and I hope Santa Claus brings you everything that you asked for, and I hope you have a tremendous time with your family, and I hope that in 2016 the Lord blesses you like he has blessed me and my family here in 2015. It's going to be a big year with a third book coming out. I want to take a moment here to tell you my first two books, Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid, and it takes all kinds, the people, places, and events that make up pro wrestling. I get asked about them all the time. I want to take a moment to tell you, yes, they are on Amazon.com, and yes, they are on Kindle through Amazon, so you can get them over there. But if you want a signed copy of the book, you have to go to kingofkingsport.com, all one word, and me and Misty both will sign them and ship them out to you in most every package that leaves our home. We put something extra in there for you. Also, check out the Southern States Wrestling DVDs and the classic Southern DVDs there on kingofkingsport.com. I also want to tell you our sponsor, thank you for helping us out here, my friend Lance Dykes, Life Insurance Independent Agent in Tennessee and Virginia. Call Lance today, 423-817-8248, or in Virginia, 540-300-6204. Final Expense, Whole Life, and Term Insurance, top name carriers, never too early to protect your family. Call Lance today, and he will set up a meeting, no pressure, and help you out there. Now, let's get right into this, the second part of Mario Galento. Like I said, if you're listening and missed the first part, just go to the archives, listen to the first part, come right back over here to this program, and let's go back in the Wayback Machine to 1974, Saturday morning, Memphis Sports Call-In Show, Mario Galento talking openly, which was unheard of at the time, about professional wrestling.
Peter, 725-1430 is a number to call, and I'm talking with Mario Galento, who used to wrestle in this area and who claims he's been blacklisted because he failed to be a part of the show. And by that I mean he failed to follow the orders. This is what Mario alleges, that who would win matches and who would lose matches. Before we went on the air, Mario was telling me something that to back up his claims, is that no matter how many people wrestle on a program, the matches all seem to end at the same time. You want to expound on that a little bit?
Well, I'll just ask you if you had noticed that. You can have eight.
No, because I hadn't been.
You know, I said, this lady called in a little while ago. She could probably, she'd been to the matches there. If you have 8 men, 12 men, or 18, you know, have, and sometimes they have a big night. They had 32 one night. And the news is always called in. They told me, I don't know about this, about the main event before it even started. It had to be if it lasted 10:30. And they always threw it about 10:15. I don't care if it's 12, 15, 25, or 30, or 32 wrestlers. And people are beginning to ask me, I have to answer these questions, is why aren't you wrestling? And when are you going to be back? And it's embarrassing as it can be. And my students, I have a television up in the school I was in, and they watch the matching, and they ask me if this is real, and that's real. And after they wrestle, and they learn how to wrestle, then they know that if I tell them, yes, this is real, that I'm a liar. And, of course, I can't tell them yes, because it is it's not true. It's not wrestling, the things that they see on television. And I got them all in there one time. For instance, I said, watch TV now. I'm going to give you all a dollar apiece for each wrestling hoax you see. And they come running there. They're really excited, and nobody made a dollar. Not one. Somebody's going in their tights after this, or turned around, or the one.
Well, I mean, what is a hole and what isn't? Like, is a half Nelson a hole?
A half Nelson, quarter Nelson, great vines, and You have the leg grapevines and front face locks and things. You don't see this. I have a brochure coming out. I'll give you one of 36 different holds that are wrestling holds.
Are those the holds that are used in college wrestling?
Yes. Some of them are not allowed in college because it's breaking holds, since, you know, they don't use it in amateur in college either. But it's a good hooking, called a hooker, you know, to put a reverse death lock with a back face lock. That's one of the holds I give.
Sounds menacing.
I give anybody, you know, like I say, the $100 in free training that can break them after they are applied.
All right, let's get back to calls, Mario, on line one. We Radio, you're on the air.
George?
Yeah.
I'd like to document everything that Mr. Galindo is saying. I know he's not a fake because, unless I'm mistaken, I saw one of his unadvertised matches last Saturday night at a local restaurant. Wasn't that right, Mr. Galindo?
That's correct.
Right, and
that's right.
You were winning that one pretty good.
Well, you know, there wasn't nobody calling a shot from that. The guy had been looking for me for 3 weeks, and he found me.
But what happened?
You noticed my wife, too, huh?
What happened? How'd that start? Was advertised or anything? Nobody paid or anything?
No, he had run up a big bill, and I used to be a bouncer at the club a few months ago, and I collected it for the man. And he wanted to know where the guy was with the earring. He kept coming back, said, I'm looking for him. So my wife and I come back, and he and his wife and daughter looked for us for 3 weeks, and they found us. You did see that. That should have been filmed, huh?
Well, I saw it. I sort of stayed inside and watched, you know, because, you know, I didn't want to get in the middle of it, but I sure saw it.
In other words, you seen one that wasn't rehearsed.
Well, I know that wasn't rehearsed. Well, I admit, boy.
I thank you. I sure do thank you, and I want to tell the gentleman that owns the big club that I'm very sorry. He was looking for me, and he found me. Of course, I understand the lady fell down and broke her leg that my wife got hold of.
Okay, let's...
It was real good, and I enjoyed it.
Let's get to another call.
Thank you.
We Radio Sports Line, you're on the air.
Okay, how you doing?
All right.
I'd like to talk to Mr. Galindo.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm enjoying the program so much. You're a wonderful guest.
Thank you, ma'am.
I want to ask you, do you have any trouble with the spectators?
My biggest trouble of all wrestlers is playing the bad parts of the spectators. I have.
Were you the villain, Mario?
Yes, I was for a while, and then I turned to be able to be the good boss after I got my head cracked with bottles, and of course my arms, and legs. I've got over 400 stitches in my body. From knife wounds and bottle wounds and things. My arm was almost cut off and my legs from from getting people excited, and I was cut through the ropes two different times.
Oh, well, that's what I wondered about. The referee, Sam, I can't think of his last name. What's his last name?
Sam Platani is a great wrestler and has a great wrestling record.
Yeah, well, I know him.
Yes,
and he was telling me about a little old lady in tennis shoes that met him outside after a match and grabbed him by the shirt and was shaking his shirt saying, why didn't you see what was going on? And he just tore his shirt off.
Well, they had a referee a while back seen what was going on, and he got fired down there. So maybe, I don't know, Sam may be listening.
Well, Sam got his back broken wrestling, didn't he?
Who?
Sam. Well, he used to wrestle.
Yes, ma'am. He had a great background from Olympic wrestling, college wrestling, and amateur wrestling.
Uh-huh.
He's also a judo man and can beat 2/3 of the people that comes down there. Matter of fact, he can beat anybody that comes down besides Mr. Thayer's right now.
Thayer's a great wrestler.
He is a great wrestler. He's a great athlete and a great wrestler.
Uh-huh.
And I just can't understand. It's like I said a while ago, I can't understand him. 5 years ago, of him wrestling the caliber of men that he is wrestling now, making them look good. Because he's a great artist. He puts holds on himself for them. And they don't even know what they've got. Of course, he gets loose when he gets ready.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I understand that right now, and of course, he has to, you know, promote himself, of course, in the business. We can't blame him for that. But he is a fine wrestler.
Yes, he is. Well, I'm enjoying the program so much. Come back up again soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Man. Thank you.
All right, 725-1430 is the number to call. Mario.
Thank you.
We Radio, you're on the air.
I'm Mario, please.
Go ahead.
Mario.
Yeah.
I didn't see it in the papers, but who did those infernos turn out to be when they unmasked them?
You know, it's supposed to have been one of those guys, supposed to have been Wild Red Berry's son, which I didn't really recognize him. He evidently had went to wrestling since I had had the beard and everything. It's hard to recognize a guy with the beard.
Uh-huh.
And Wild Red Berry was a great showman, but he, you know what I mean. He had a big, good mouth, and he was a well-educated man, and he knew how to keep the belt on a long time without having to wrestle for it.
Yeah. Who was the other one?
They never did tell who the other was. They just pulled it off.
I thought they was going to, the paper said it was going to unmask them down.
No, just one. They just took it off for one.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And it was Rick Barry, huh?
They said it was Wild Red Berry's son.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I thought you said Rick Barry. I thought you were talking about a basketball player. Okay.
You don't know who the other one was.
No, sir, I sure don't.
I didn't know who the first one was after you told me.
I didn't either.
am so glad to hear you on We Radio.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think you're a marvelous gentleman.
Thank you, ma'am.
You have no idea who you're talking to, but I'm going to tell you. You know, Lynn takes from you now, takes lessons
yes,
from you.
Yes, ma'am.
And Red, I think, stopped by there and talked to you last night or the night before.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. Uh-huh. And I was just really surprised to hear you on the radio, but I'm so proud, and I'm so proud of you, and you're a marvelous guy.
All right, we've got to take a commercial break.
Well, you keep up the good
work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ma'am.
There's a former wrestler around this area who's had some rather candid remarks to say about wrestling. 725-1430 is the number to call. And let's get back to calls right now on line one.
We Radio, you're on the air.
Yes, is Mario still there?
Yes, Mario is right here. He's going to be here. He's like country music in Nashville. He's going to be here a long time.
Okay. I want to ask whatever happened to two guys and what are they doing now?
Yeah.
Sputnik Monroe and Al Spider Galento.
Well, Al Spider Galento is in Pensacola, Florida, and he's out of wrestling right now. And Sputnik is somewhere in the
Spider Galento for a while was working in the security department at Memphis State, as
I know.
Yeah,
he sure was. And Sputnik is somewhere doing whatever he's told. I think he's down in Tampa, Florida.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We Radio, you're on the air. 725-1430 is the number to call, and we have one open line. You're on.
That's Mr. Mario. Please.
Yes, this is Mario speaking.
Yes, I'd like to clarify a couple of statements that
yes, sir.
You've made.
Mm-hmm.
You admit that the promoters dictate the winner and the loser.
Yes.
And you also admit that the punches and throwing the chairs are fake. Yet you issue these challenges to certain wrestlers that you can beat them in 10 minutes and less than 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Well, what do you mean that you can beat them in a real fight? Like,
I mean in a contest, in a wrestling match.
Well,
you know, not a show.
Will be fake?
Pardon me?
Will the punches be fake?
No. If I wrestle, I'm not going to punch him. I'm going to wrestle him. You see, when I'm speaking, of course,
well,
if I punch him.
When you're in the ring, you admitted that the throwing of the chairs and some of the holds are fake. Well, how do you clarify the fact that you could beat him in less than 10 minutes? What kind of match is any different than the next guy's?
Well, what's the difference? I'm speaking of contesting, not following orders is what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking
but
of wrestling.
The punches are not real. And
well, the punches are real, but you know yourself, if you watch a man, it's like Mr. Lapita said a while ago, if you go back and hit a man in the nose, I don't care who you are, you're going to knock his nose off and knock him down, one. You just don't stand there and punch and can't knock him off his feet. A while ago, I heard a gentleman make a remark. He said, listen, anytime a man can throw a punch like they do out there and miss a guy 6 inches and knock him down, if he's that tough, I don't want to even be in the ring with him.
Right.
Because
well,
if he did connect, he would kill you.
But you're still admitting that it wouldn't be, everything would not be on the up and up. You know, you said, tell us you can beat the man.
Yes, I say I can beat the man. I said I'd bet $1,000 I could be in one of the five in the mention if I'm allowed to.
But yet,
yeah.
part of the fake.
It wouldn't be any fake of me butting up $1,000, no, sir.
No, but part of the actual fight would be fake.
Not if I take him in a contest.
Oh,
you don't know the difference in a show and a contest.
Well,
contest is to get you back. I mean, the show is to get you back, and the contest is to beat your opponent.
Well, I sort of read them as the same, but I understand what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Let's get to another call. We Radio, you're on the air. 725-1430 is the number to call. Mario Galento is here.
Mr. Galento?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's quite obvious, I think, everybody, that it's a show and it's not wrestling. But,
yes, sir.
But authentic wrestling, as we know it, wouldn't draw 500 people.
Well, yeah, you're right.
And, I mean, these matches, they draw 8,000 and 9,000. And, I mean, after all, no one wants to see two men in a hammerlock for 30 minutes doing nothing.
Why do they watch it in college, then, that many people?
how many watch it, George?
Oh, in Iowa and Oklahoma and those wrestling area states, they fill basketball arenas.
Yeah, 30, 40.
I mean,
40,
for every match every night, if they had it, you think they'd fill it?
Well, they wrestle, let's say that Oklahoma's wrestling team is going to go out during the wrestling season and wrestle once a week, and they fill it.
And they also televise it from Germany and everywhere else. It's a world's hookup thing. They're, you know, it's just on what you're educated
for. Two men here in Memphis got in a ring and sat there in an authentic technical hammerlock or scissors.
You mean like Stringer Lewis, one of the greatest wrestlers in the world?
Right. I mean,
he drew more people than any man in the whole country.
Well, he drew it on his name.
No, he drew it on holding the mirror because he couldn't.
Well, he had to get a name, didn't he?
That's what he got his name with. Like Mr. Fez is a wrestler. Luke Fez is a wrestler. He got it on his name. But I say he's not wrestling here, and I'll tell him the same thing I'm telling you. He's playing.
But But isn't it built as an exhibition and not a wrestling match?
It should be. If it's not, it should be. I mean, in New York and places like that, you have to put a wrestling show.
Right.
In Madison Square Garden, places I've been, in wrestling, Los Angeles, it's got to be a wrestling show. It's against the law to say wrestling match or a contesting.
Whatever happened to old Wild Bill Longston?
He's in St. Louis. I seen him about 6 or 8 months ago, looking real, real good. He's doing fine.
I assume he's retired.
Yes, he was a fine man. He was a tough wrestler if it come to it.
I remember seeing him at the Auditorium, I guess maybe 20 years ago. And,
yeah.
And he was responsible for a hole that was actually outlawed or barred, the pile driver.
Well, there's no way to pile drive a man at all, because you just, that's one of the things I'm glad you asked me. A man's got to slack the, bump him the atomic drop from behind. If you notice, the guy always jumps way up high as he can go and comes down on supposedly on his tailbone on a guy's knee. That's impossible. You can't pile drive a man, and if he's dead weight, you can't even pick him up. So he's got to help you.
Didn't one of the wrestlers, I think it was years ago, die from a pile driver he put on someone? Was it Red Roach or someone like that?
No, I think that was
Don Roach.
Don Roach was here, but that wasn't called from a pile driver. That was brain hemorrhage.
He did die in the ring, didn't he?
Well, I don't know if he did or not. I know that some of them die in the ring from heart attacks, just like they do everywhere else, but it's not from the... It's
I
not
know some brain damage done through the pile driver.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's get to another call.
You.
We radio 725-1430 is the number to call, and you're on the air. Hello?
Huh?
You're on.
Okay. I'd like to ask Mr. Glento something.
Yes, ma'am. Speaking.
Well, I'd wonder if he could tell me who does he consider to be wrestlers in this territory.
Well, I can tell you who was wrestlers that's not in this territory. The Kangaroos were tough wrestlers. And Bobby Hart and Parenti were tough wrestlers. And Mr. Lou Fez is a tough wrestler. And Dennis Hall is a tough wrestler. Ken Lucas is a tough wrestler. Billy Wicks is one of the greatest and toughest in the business, and I can't think of any more right offhanded. Is he even a wrestler at all, let alone being a tough one?
All right, well, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's get to another call. We Radio Sports Line, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'll speak to Mr. Glento.
Yes, sir. Speaking, sir.
Is the blood we see actually blood?
Yes, it's real blood. And it really comes out of the human being and out of the spot. But how they get it now is another different thing, because when you see the man hit between the horns and he bleeds and drags all over, if you go up to where he's resting it the next night, you don't see any tape or nothing on his head. It's why they don't go to the hospital and have it sewed up. A wrestler's no different than anybody else. You know, you can't just say, Shazam, and my head's not hurting anymore. And it's not sewed up. I wrestled Billy Wicks here one time in Memphis and received 32 stitches. We wanted to see who was the toughest, who could take the most punishment, and I did. I busted him pretty good, but he busted me a little bit harder, because Billy Wick was an Olympic wrestler, and he's an amateur wrestler, and he's a coach out at Germantown, and he has a team out there now, and he himself and Sam Platania, they may not wrestle these boys that I left out a while ago, because it'd take me all day. It'd take a great big book to name who couldn't wrestle that comes here. I just named the ones that could. Now, they can wrestle.
But what actually causes these wounds? Is it the fist or some foreign object that slices it?
Well, it's some foreign object. Yeah, I can't advertise what it is because I don't want to, you know, if I told you what it was, well, they think I was doing a commercial for some blade company.
I've been listening to the program. You've mentioned Billy Wicks quite a lot. You must have a lot of admiration for the gentleman.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate it because he is a wrestler and he's a tough one. He's a good man.
Let me ask you, what's happened to Johnny Walker?
Johnny Walker is welding, I think, somewhere.
Well, I thought that was something you drank.
He is an underwater welder, and he's a fine man, and he is a tough wrestler.
Well, has he quit wrestling?
He just wrestles when he gets ready, and he's more money in welding. Because I wrestled, I'll tell you, for instance, just for a couple of things. I wrestled here about a year ago in Louisville, Kentucky, for these promoters out here in this town, in Nashville and here together, the promoters, and I don't recognize to call the promoters' names. I don't think so. Everybody knows them. That's Mr. Burt Bates and Roy Wilson.
All right, let's get to the subject.
All right. Then I wrestled there for a full house of people. I'll tell you why he's not wrestling then. And I think it was $11,000 there, $3 to $5 a piece on a Sunday night. I wrestled here in Memphis to the same thing, to a turn away. And I got a check on the following Wednesday for $150, and the boys underneath got a check for $50 a match. So that's why a lot of the good boys are not. They figure out a salary. Mm-hmm. If you're a good listener and you want to work for a salary, And wrestling is one of the greatest businesses in the world. To be able to get some foreign debt, you can never get out because people think you're a millionaire.
But Jerry Lawler inferred on this program he was making in excess of $100,000 a year.
Well,
that's a main inventor's work.
Well, Jerry Lawler is not making $100,000 a year. He may make $100,000 in a lifetime. I'd say that for him, but he better be careful because the income tax people caught Monroe running his mouth and they could put him in pen. They had to go through all of his papers and make him check back and all of this $20,000 and $50,000 he was making a night. He had to prove that he was lying about it, which is no way in the possible world for a man to make $100,000 in this territory because Jerry Jarrett doesn't make that, and he's part of it. He doesn't make that much.
All right, we've got to take a break.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We Radio takes another step ahead to serve our...
Opinions expressed on We Radio do not necessarily reflect the opinions of WWE.
Let's repeat this, and we've got about another four minutes with Mario Galinto. Mario, you've been teaching people how to wrestle, but if you're blacklisted, how can your wrestlers, where do they go?
They don't, because I sent one in the Mobile, Alabama here a while back and found out I was his coach, and he went out on the ranch of the promoters down there and worked out with their grandsons. One of them's a grandson, the other's his son. There's three brothers and a father that owns it. He worked out with them out on the ranch where nobody should have known anything at all about it. He beat all three of them and was fired and sent back to me, and his name is Bob Adcock. And he is a great amateur wrestler. He had amateur wrestling school here. He's a fine gentleman. He's 230 pounds. Has nothing but tough wrestling.
Well, what I'm saying is that why would anyone go to Mario Galinto for lessons to become a professional wrestler if after they finish learning from you, they can't get employment?
That's easy to explain. Now, some of them wants to go out on a vacation because they've all got good jobs. And after I've told them that there wasn't any money right now, and there never has been, actually, if you're underneath in the wrestling business, they don't want to go out on the road and wrestle. They want to be able to protect themselves at all times. They learn self-defense, and they learn how to wrestle. And knowing how to wrestle is a great, great thing. You see, there's Billy Wicks now. He doesn't go out on the road and wrestle, and he is a wrestler. And I just tell them the truth about it. My boys ask me when they're watching TV, is that real? And I cannot tell one of my students, yes, that's real, because he knows I'm a liar after he has learned to wrestle, after he really learns how to wrestle.
Well, why don't we see any black wrestlers?
That's a good question. I had several black students here that actually, if you want to know the truth about it, was refused license here in the state. Why, I don't know. I turned out some good heavyweights, some good tough ones. And the only thing I can tell you is this, because they came through my school, because they were interested. They were interested. And of course, I wasn't blackballed up until the deal up in Jackson, Tennessee. Now, I'll tell you something. Tommy Gilbert is one of my students. And of course, Tommy's making a lot of money, and he's a fine wrestler. And they are using Tommy. And the black, I can't understand
why. Would Tommy tell it like it is?
Yes, he'd have to. Tommy is a gentleman. And if he was pushed in the corner, he'd have to tell it like it is.
If he was pushed in the corner.
I mean, if he was asked, it wouldn't be no reason for him volunteering something. You know, you don't want.
Well, if I were to pick up the phone on the air live one morning, call him and ask him that just straight out, what would that do to his career?
It would get him fired.
Well, he's got to be crazy if he would be.
But I tell you, a lot of people. There's some few real people left yet. I'll tell you like it is. If I get hit in the nose after I get out of your station out here,
But you don't have a wrestling job, so all you've got to lose is your nose.
That's
or something.
All, and it's been hit a lot of times by a lot of good men, and I'm still walking. And I still say that to be a good wrestler, you've got to be in shape. In the first place, you've got to have the guts, which is guts condition, and ability. And there's a shortage on all of them right now. There's a real shortage on all three of those things right now. And it's not how good a wrestler you are. It's who you are, who you're kin to, who your mother works, and why she's running the office or not, and whether you're supposed to hurt him or not. And one of the boys got hit in the mouth last year, and the boy was fired.
All right, Mario, I've got to cut you off because we're completely out of time. We've got to go.
Don't cuss the boys. Just do exactly what they're told. Don't cuss the boys and the referees. Cuss the promoters.
Okay. That's been it for today. This is George Lapidus trying to get Mike Storn on the air Friday morning of the ABA.
There you heard it, 1974, Mario Galinto speaking openly about professional wrestling to the media, which nobody at the time really did. It was a closed society. It was a secret society. It was a whole lot different than what you see today. But in some shape, form, and fashion, professional wrestling has survived, and it will always survive, in my opinion. Whether they want to call it something else, whether they want to try to take wrestling out of the name of it, whatever, it all goes back to it's inside of a ring with three ropes. And men and women are giving their blood, sweat, and tears to entertain the folks out there who buy a ticket and come and see them. So there it was, two episodes of Mario Galento on Memphis Radio. I also want to remind you here, now we're going to start back the week of January the 4th with guests. I got a lot of great guests already lined up. Our first one to kick off the year is the Duke of New York, Al Getz. And if you are from the Kingsport area and you know him from Southern States Wrestling, Georgia, you know him from Anarchy and a lot of other promotions down there. And we're going to sit down and talk about independent wrestling then, meaning the 1990s, and now. As he and I both have survived over two decades in the sport of professional wrestling. Also, a reminder, 2016 is going to be a big year for Southern States Wrestling. It is our silver anniversary, 25 years, a quarter of a century. We have been promoting towns all across what is called the Mountain Empire here, and West Virginia and East Kentucky and all up and down the Appalachians here, and I never would have dreamed it would have lasted this long, but we're going to start kicking it off here Christmas week. We're going to start uploading on YouTube classic matches from over the years. I want to share them on kingofkingsport.com, on our facebook.com/southernstateswrestling, also Twitter at SSWWrestling1. So lots of memories to come up as we videotaped and professionally shot so much stuff over the years. Almost every event for the first 15 years was taped. Then years of TV, years of special home videos we made. We have so much footage. There's going to be a set of DVDs come out there during our 25th anniversary year. Best tag teams, best of the heavyweights, best of the women wrestlers, best of this and that and everything else. We've got so much footage that we want to share with people and get it out there and keep our history alive like we have did with the other territories that were here, like Southeastern Wrestling and Smoky Mountain Wrestling and John Kazana and Mickey Barnes' promotions here in East Tennessee that go all the way back to the 30s and 40s. Such a rich history here in this part of the country. And professional wrestling has been around for over 100 years here. No matter who wants to knock it and drag it through the mud and do whatever about it, it's going to survive. It's going to be around another 100 years if the good Lord don't call us home before then. But, you know, I love talking to history, but I also look at right now and look to the future, because if you don't have young talent coming up, if you don't have young men and women who have the same passion, the same desire, then the sport is not going to grow. It's not going to become anything bigger and better than what it already is, and there's a lot of young talent out there, and I hope to get many of them right here on this program this coming year, and a lot of legends on this program too. As you know, I have been around a long time, and I have been blessed to wrestle with so many people, so many parts of the country over the last 27 years, and made friends with them, and you know, they're just a phone call away, and hopefully I'll get a bunch of them on here this year, and we'll tell some stories and have a good time and celebrate the past of professional wrestling and talk about the future and what's coming up. I want to thank you once again for listening to both programs as we're back and fired up and ready to go here with Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? January 4th is our next scheduled program with the Duke of New York, but I may surprise you and throw another one in before then with some more classic audio that has not been heard in 30 or 40 years right here on this program. Once again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. God bless each and every one of you. Go over and check out both of my books. They're on sale. The first two books are on sale in print and right here in my office, ready to be signed and shipped. KingofKingsport.com and the one covering the history of East Tennessee, more importantly, the city of Kingsport, my hometown, will be out at the very first part of the year, which I'm talking about January the 1st, ready to ship, ready to go to you. So God bless each and every one of you. Merry Christmas. Remember the reason for the season. That is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Till next time, it's Bo James. Do you want to be a wrestler, kid?
Thanks for listening, everyone, and make sure you tune in next week of a brand new episode of Do You Want to Be a Wrestler, Kid? Radio. Also, make sure you check out KingofKingsport.com for books, DVDs, pictures, and more.